goal is to bring you your next favorite band.
Thanks for having us. This is a very cool show.
So we threw many iterations, and we finally landed on the weirdest one by far.
Just a couple of feelings, and boom, you got a song.
I remember this one time. I'd been writing some songs, and I went out. I'm just going right in on this story. I went out, and so I was.
The story's longer than the song itself. We'll go ahead and play it.
And listen, it's going to be everybody's favorite band. Welcome to your next favorite band. That's both the show title and our promise to you. We here at Stereophilia Studio are tireless in our pursuit of finding incredible, genre-defiant artists who are either a hot, up-and-coming band or a group that has been delivering for years but have flown under the radar.
Tonight, we spend some time with some thankfulness banter, and then we also get to hear from local indie pop artist Seth Witcher.
Each month, we will bring you live streams, audio podcasts, and perhaps even a live concert where you can listen to the stories and hear the music of artists personally curated by us based on what we feel will be worthy of your time. Be sure to subscribe and tune in to each episode because the possibilities are endless and you never know who will be
your next favorite band.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. I am your host, Philip Reese.
Hello, and I'm your co-host, David Moore.
And you are listening to
your next favorite band.
And we have a guest co-host.
Co-host? I don't know how many prefixes that gets at that point. Seth Witcher. I think that's better, right?
So, for the opening here, your guest co-host. Yep. And then in a little bit, we're going to unfold that and reopen things back up again, and we are going to be our guest.
Sounds cool.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. Of course. What you heard me say in the beginning there is, this, whenever it's a week like this, like it's Thanksgiving, you know, we'd like to just spend some time chatting about that topic. And actually, it's a big part of what I admire about your kind of vibe. Like every time you're out there, you're just so appreciative and thankful. We're going to get into that in a little bit with some specific examples.
Thank you.
But who better to have on for the thankfulness banter than Seth Witcher?
Yeah, I mean, it's a perfect fit for what we're trying to do for the time of year.
Yeah. So we always cozy up to the fireplace here at Reese Plots, and I had asked if you were okay with the fire, and you said 10,000%.
Yeah, dude. I'd rather be warm right now. I'd rather be warm. I was playing a show the other day outside, and my fingers were just, like, frozen for half of it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So I was hoping that wouldn't be the case today.
Imagine we did it outside on like the breeze with like Seth. Good news, it's not raining today. So we have a couple cool things to share here today. Right off the top, breaking news. It's never too early to share Music Fest news. Probably is a little too early, but
not when you're in Bethlehem.
Not when you're in Bethlehem, but also not my fault. I didn't break the news. They did.
Well, no, we're just reinforcing the news right
Correct.
Now.
So we're going to bring reinforcing news. That's got to have a different song.
Hammering? Like probably. Reinforcing?
Yeah, we're going to reinforce it. But they released the poster. Look at that.
This is for the Music Fest 2024.
Yep.
Is actually, in my opinion, stunning. I think
it's a gorgeous design this year.
Yeah, I really think they hit it out of the park this year.
Yeah, so it's designed by the artist in residence over at Banana Factory, Lauren Beck. I think they really did such an amazing job here. It's basically, for those of you listening on the podcast, it is a very blue purple, what would you say?
I would say nighttime shades.
Yeah, it's like nighttime shades. There's a little bit of red.
Yeah, there's a red in
salmon
it.
Color.
Yeah, it's mostly blues and purples, maybe indigo if you want to get fancy. But if you're listening, take a moment, go to musicfest.org.
And we'll link to it.
And yeah, so that you can take a look at it.
It's got a gorgeous luminescent moon.
It's a lovely. It's got both sides of the city and the
constellations.
Shot.
Constellations, north side, south side. Seth, what do you think of the poster?
I think it looks cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. I mean, I've never seen like a nighttime poster for Music Fest before.
Yeah, it's pretty cool that the constellations have musical, you know, there's a saxophone, there's a guitar.
It's almost like they're like the zodiac constellations, but for instruments, which is pretty cool.
Well, I mean, considering you can make whatever pattern you want out of them, I figure that it's fair game.
It sure is. And so that is very cool. So we'll definitely link. The other thing that they announced was that they're now taking the submissions for Music Fest 2024. So if you are a musician and you're interested in being considered, we'll link to that as well. There's ways that you can kind of submit your information and your MP3s and be considered for being booked for Music Fest. How many times have you played Music Fest?
I think I've played like four times.
Four times.
Fantastic. Yeah. Good for you.
Yeah, thank absolutely. You. And what I love too, and again, this is something that we'll get into a little bit more, but you you sang the national anthem at opening ceremonies that one year.
Yeah, last year, yeah.
So we'll talk about that in a second, but wanted to definitely bring that up. And David, as we often say, we saw some live music.
Did we?
We did. We did. Yes.
This was a group effort.
Yes. And it was even a part of something that we were co-producing.
Right. So we released an episode relatively recently that was regarding this event.
Correct.
Which was the
Friday night, Nashville meets Bethlehem.
Yeah, Friday, if you're catching this out of context, it was Friday the 17th
Correct.
Of November.
That's true. Yeah, you shouldn't reference days. November 17th.
Yeah.
Over at the Arts Quest building in the Blast Furnace room. It was eight local musicians, it was a songwriters round, and just kind of wanted to bring in some of that content because it really had some really cool moments. This is a moment that Greg Adams from Tioga kind of just shared a story and something he was going
to
play.
Yesterday, I was listening to an interview with one of my favorite musicians, Andre 3000. He's got an album coming out, and the interviewer is asking him about why there aren't going to be any lyrics on his album. It's all flute. And he said, well, I feel like I don't have anything to rap about anymore. I feel like I don't have anything to talk about anymore. And sometimes I feel like that. And when I feel like that, often I go and look for a prompt to write a song about. And usually it's a friend or a bandmate. And the next song that I'm going to play was such a situation where actually the bassist in our band said, hey, I was sitting on a bus in a bus terminal the other day, and the bus was getting ready to leave, and there was a bus right next to my bus where I saw two people that were, you know, getting friendly and sitting next to one another and getting acquainted, and wouldn't it be cute to write a song about these two people on this bus meeting each other for the first time and falling in love? And I said, that would be cute, but I'm not going to write a song about that. Because there's a little piece of me when I get the prompt, I'm like, thank you, but also how can I subvert the expectation of what you think the song is going to be about? So this next song is about a person who's grouchy and delusional and jealous, watching two people meeting on a bus.
Damn the man.
This song's called Strangers on a Greyhound. From the ground and 3 feet apart, they can't see me behind the glass, but I know just where he'll start.
So I just thought it was a great night. What I kind of wanted to showcase there was what you get with a songwriter's round is where you're getting a little bit of the story behind the songwriting. It could be funny. There were other times where it was much more touching, or you know, heavier stuff. And you know, there was some emotional moments. There was funny moments. There was great singing and songwriting. And
there was talk of murder.
Yeah, there was a different one I was going to potentially bring up was the murder section, which was followed by the angel of death, which was followed by it was a good time had by all.
I mean, it's worked out for the best. No one was actually murdered that we're aware of.
At least, not in that room.
And as far as we are disclaiming that very readily.
Correct. Exactly right. But it was very cool. Have you ever done a songwriter's round set?
No.
Okay, it's super fun. We got to get you involved
have
in
you
that
ever
next
been,
time we
have
do.
Have you ever actually seen a songwriter's round?
No.
It's a very cool experience. We were promoting it anyone that hasn't been there, and same to you, if you ever get a chance to do that, it's an excellent thing to do. It's usually 3 to 5 mm-hmm. different musicians / songwriters, and they'll tell the story either before or after their song, and then play the song typically, and you hear, you know, it broken down in typically a smaller version. It's a neat way to see a show.
Sure.
It's particularly interesting when some of the songwriters start maybe joining in,
mm-hmm.
or they encourage the other people, or the banter that happens between everybody. It's mm-hmm. It's a good time. It's a different type of showcase for a show.
Sure. Yeah, and then you know, it's the reason why it's called Nashville Meets Bethlehem was it's very much a style that Nashville uses for mm-hmm. putting that kind of a gig together. So that was part of the draw, we think, is that since it's a style that isn't always around here, most people were saying they had never seen this style before.
Yeah, it's very unusual for that type of song, right. Concert show.
Yeah.
I guess show is maybe a better way to describe it, to happen around here. Like, mm-hmm. I know of, I've been to a few, but two of them were not in Lehigh Valley, both in Philadelphia.
Sure.
And then there was one this past,
the fireplace is
correcting me.
Yes. But yeah, so that was super cool. And I felt like that too was like, it was like its own little mini music fest. Like it was people who have, a lot of them played music fest, and it was mm-hmm. such a diverse genre lineup. And, you know, it was just a very, very cool thing with all these different highs and lows of the evening, but, just very, very cool. But, so one thing I shared last year, and I continue to feel this way, is one of the greatest things that this show has given me is, and I'm super grateful for, so I'll share one here, mm-hmm. is the trust that listeners have had in tuning in, because music is one of these things that you like what you like, and you would have to trust somebody else to say, I'm going to listen to this because you recommended it. So whether it was Friday night because people were showing up because they liked one artist or two and maybe never heard of the other six, or anybody who likes and subscribes to this show, it's probably the greatest like thing that I'm super thankful for every time we do this is just like, I love that people tune in. And I love that musicians come on. Like, that's a huge trust that you have is like, hey, I'm going to come on this show and I trust that you're going to run a good show and ask good questions and all that kind of stuff. So the fact that anybody would put trust in me, in us, in this show is something that I just will always be grateful for.
Well, thanks for having me on. Thanks for, you know, asking me to be here.
Yeah.
It's an honor. It's
really cool. So within that kind of vein of gratitude as well, there was one other thing we kind of wanted to touch on before we get to the interview with Seth. And it has to do with a little bit to do with our Winter Wonder Jam, which, as a reminder, is
December 10th.
December 10th, Sunday. It's at Godfrey Daniels. It's going to start at
3:00
and
it's Eastern time.
Three p.m. Eastern time. It'll be live streamed. People can come in person, and it'll be the kind of thing where, in fact, you're going to kind of kickstart it for us tonight. But because musicians who have been on the show often will contribute a holiday song,
okay,
or something seasonal. It could be about winter. It could be about any of the holidays. It doesn't have to be Christmas. It could be Hanukkah. It could be whatever. So later on in the show, you're going to actually close things out with some holiday music for us to kind of kickstart the whole Wonder Jam feel. But one of the things we do that night is we honor our local homeless shelter. So they do this special thing, and it'll actually be the night before, called Luminaria Night. So the organization is called New Bethany Ministries. It's a homeless shelter. It does a lot of other outreach for the community. And we raise funds for them that night with a text to give code. In fact, we have it here. I can bring it up on the screen. The one for this year is if you text Next Fave Band 2023 to the code 41444, it'll bring up a kind of a portal on your phone and you can make a donation to them directly. And so we're going to do that night. And so what we're going to do here is just kind of give you a quick little peek into what Luminaria Night is, because it's a fun story. It's something they borrowed from a community out in Ohio. But it's a very, very special night here in Bethlehem. And so just to give a listen to this here from it's about Luminaria Night. And hopefully if you're local, you might participate.
I can't believe it's been 25 years since we started Luminaria, and it started with just the three of us having a cup of tea.
It seems like just yesterday we sparked the idea of lighting up our neighborhoods.
I remember how small it was, and to see it grow throughout the community is amazing.
25 years, and so many more years to come. Luminaria Night was founded and formed by myself and two of my friends, Deanne Artem and Donna Acera, and we were actually just sitting around having a cup of tea one day. We didn't know a lot of people in our neighborhood, and Dee said, you know, we used to do this thing in Cincinnati called Luminaria Night.
And we had just had Luminaria Night in Cincinnati before I moved, and so I got here, and I'm thinking, I'm not going to have a Luminaria Night this year. This is going to be sad because I love Luminaria Night. And so I told them about Cincinnati and Luminaria Night, and they were like, well, we could do that.
And so Luminaria Night was an idea to connect with our other neighbors in the new neighborhood and for us to work together on a project that would do some good for someone.
My second year there, I ran into three women who were running a little program called Luminaria in a three-block area, and they gave us a little money from there, and I realized what great potential that had, and we grew a relationship with New Bethany where now it's thousands and thousands of people who participate in this wonderful community event and at the same time are becoming involved in New Bethany, donating to New Bethany, volunteering at New Bethany, and so on.
This is the event that connects the community. A luminary is a very simple product. It is a white paper bag with one cup of sand and one white votive candle.
The double gift that Luminaria Night brings. We're helping other people that are in need, raising money for them, and giving it to New Bethany to distribute. But at the same time, we're building in our own neighborhoods a feeling of community, of knowing, getting to know one another.
We say that we are a light in our neighbor's darkest hour, so it's a reminder to everyone in the community who participates and those who simply observe the night that anybody could fall onto hard times.
So that's Mark Riddle right there, and he is the executive director of New Bethany Ministries. And so he'll be coming on the show when we do the Wonder Jam to kind of give an update about what they do. And our goal this year is to kind of beat last year's donation. It was like $665. So hopefully people will help us do that goal. That text to give code of Next Fave Band 2023 to 41444 is active now. So people can start donating now if they're so inclined. And then it'll be a nice build up to Winter Wonder Jam on Sunday, December 10th.
It's cool.
Yeah.
It's nice to do.
Yes, yeah, and it's they do a lot of great work. The homeless shelter is one of the things they do, but it's a food bank, it's transitional housing, it's...
They do training, they do...
Yeah, coaching for... To put those people back on their own two feet and independent. And
yeah, correct, yeah, and to help
a lot
them...
A great stuff.
To help them make their way back into the world with the best chances of success possible.
Yeah, and I think our hope, too, is that we're shining a light on... There's organizations like this in every community.
Yes.
Allentown has one, and everywhere that you're hopefully... You know, if you're tuning in and you're not even from Pennsylvania, there's going to be stuff in your community as well. We kind of just always want to encourage, hey, seek those places out, and if you can help them, great, or just be aware of them and be appreciative of them. They do great work.
Correct. Yeah. And, you know, help when you can, and if this is one of those times when you can, please do.
Absolutely. So it is now time to bring on our guest. So congratulations, your co-hosting duty is now done.
I was barely a co-host, man. I'm just sitting here.
And so what we do here is we typically bring on some music of the artist, and then David will do a bio, and then you'll officially come on.
That's good.
Powerhouse Seth Witcher.
You don't know who I am.
Not yet.
I'm not even a person. I'm not even here.
Yeah. And so this is a very recently released song, right? I'm Afraid of Love?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, it's my latest release.
Yeah. So here is I'm Afraid of Love by Seth Witcher.
My tears won't fall tonight. You make me smile in the dark. I'm not afraid and I don't know why, but it feels like home in your arms. My tears won't fall tonight. You make me smile in the dark. I'm not afraid and I don't know why, but it feels like home in your arms. It wasn't much, you were just a crush, but I'm falling over myself.
Hailing from Allentown, Pennsylvania, Seth Witcher is a dynamic creative force, intertwining music, production, performance, and visual artistry. With soul-penetrating lyrics and melodies, Seth envisions his music as a guiding light through life's shadows, weaving an eclectic tapestry across pop punk, pop, indie rock, singer-songwriter, and R&B. Rejecting cliches, Seth channels an essence of emo into transformative tunes that uplift. Choosing happiness over engineering, Seth serenaded his way into bars, securing gigs and captivating hearts. With over 100 annual performances, Seth's commitment resonates as powerful as his evocative art. In Seth's narrative, music transcends, it heals, empowers, and celebrates vulnerability. His melodies encourage traversing darkness and emerging stronger, a testament to the enduring power of artistic connection. I'm Afraid of Love, the single we're listening to right now, is his latest release from summer of 2023.
Cool. Let's bring it up here and... The video is so cool.
Thank you.
And you were talking before a little bit about being like self-produced and you do the music part on your own and the videos too, right? Like,
so, no. So the
always good to start on a strong note there, Phil. Yeah. Good job.
Yeah, no. I used to do everything on my own.
That's probably what I'm thinking of, yeah.
Yeah, now I don't do everything alone. So the music video was produced by DeSales University.
Oh, very cool. Excellent.
Some of my friends there, they did it. As far as the song itself, yeah, I made it myself, but then, you know, I sent it over to a producer to get it
nice, polished
and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
It takes a team.
It sure does.
If you want to get something really nice.
Well, that's back to the point of there was such a time where I knew you were doing things on your own, which was so impressive.
Thank you.
That I was, like, that just spoke to, again, it had great sound and the visuals were awesome. And, you know, so that just spoke to the overall artist that you were.
Mm.
But obviously having a team just makes it that much easier where you can focus on the creative part and they can take care of some of the other stuff.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, so I used to always say that if you want something done right, you have to do it yourself.
Right.
And that's not true, you know, it's not really true. The truth is that you need to do, you know, what you can on your own until you know what you can't do, and then you delegate. So I'm able to delegate, and that music video was one that I delegated some work, and it turned out really cool.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. And a lot of your other stuff is great, too. People should definitely check out the YouTube channel. We're going to share a couple other things later on. But, yeah, officially welcome to the show, Seth Wisher.
Hey.
Love when we can do this. Local talent. From Allentown, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So here from the Lehigh Valley, and have become just such a wonderful, you know, kind of like just part of the tapestry of our wonderful music scene here. We have amazing, amazing, talented people, and now you among them. It's just great to kind of spend a little time diving into your backstory and some of the songwriting and some of this different stuff.
Let's do it, man.
Let's do it. So often start by just going back to the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And so a little bit of what I was able to learn there was you were asked, I guess, start singing at like the age of 4 in the church choir and then even piano lessons by 6.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's kind of like where the music started, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Started there. And then I played a song that I wrote for some family members.
Yeah. I wanted to get into this because I find this to be, first of all, it's impressive how you overcame it, but I always want to be like telling the audience members like what not to do. So like, you know, definitely just please share this and then we'll spend all the time there.
Yeah. I sang a song that I wrote for some family members when I was like really little, mm-hmm. and I was made fun of.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like my whole family. It was like just, you know, one person in my family that, you know, I really looked up to.
Sure.
And yeah, I just took it to heart, and then I didn't sing in front of anybody for
through like high school
10 years.
Yeah, that's just
wow. That really knocked the wind out of your sails at that point in time.
Well, the tragedy of that is just terrible.
But I told that person thank you because I wouldn't be the person I am without them. You know, like without that quote unquote hate or whatever. Like
right.
I wouldn't have the drive I have now.
Yeah, that's
like,
interesting.
Nobody can tell me anything now because I told myself the worst things I could have heard.
Right.
You know, like after I heard the criticism, you know, I was the one who was telling myself that I was worthless and that I you know, I sucked and all that. So like when people tell me, or if they tell me I suck, then it doesn't really bother me.
No, right.
Because
right.
I love music. Like I don't want to let anything keep mm-hmm. me from it anymore.
Yeah. Well, even that's, again, speaks to what we were talking about before about how perfect you are to come on the thankfulness talk.
Thank you.
There you are, like, you're taking someone who basically kind of made you doubt yourself for years, and then told them thank you. Mm-hmm. Like there, that's like the perfect, you know, example of how important gratitude is. But it's like it's there. It is in a way that you, that person didn't deserve that, but it's what's helping you through it and move on.
Yeah, I mean, and also like unforgiveness or just like, you know, being mad at somebody forever, it just hurts you.
Yeah,
so
totally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's my way of just not being mad.
Yeah. No, I hear you. I completely agree with that sentiment. Yeah. Does that voice ever come back? Like as you're working on something, does mm-hmm. that ever creep back in or is
nope.
it gone?
No, it's gone.
Good. Yeah. I was just curious about that because I know sometimes for people they do share that it's just like it's somebody who knocks at the door occasionally and you have to not let them in.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, no, that guy lived in my head for the longest time, so... Yeah, I don't want to give him mm-hmm. rent anymore.
No, yeah, exactly. Live for no. rent free up there.
Yeah, you're not.
Yeah. During that time, though, well, first of all, you taught yourself to play guitar.
Yeah, I had like one or two guitar lessons when I was younger, mm-hmm. Just like how to play like, you know, individual notes and stuff. But I forgot that I learned how to play from YouTube.
Yeah. But so through this time, you mainly weren't singing, but you mm-hmm. were still learning to play the guitar and
that's correct.
How to play music. And were you songwriting at that time too?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So then this is a really cool story I want to make sure you share. As a senior in high school, I think, you made a guitar mm-hmm. from scratch.
Yeah, I
did. And it has some really fun stories to it. So if you don't mind, just go ahead and share that.
Yeah, so I don't have it with me today, but excuse me. I built a guitar when I was in high school. Originally, I wanted to be an engineer.
Mm-hmm.
When I went to college, I wanted to get an engineering degree.
Right.
So I had this like career path of like classes that you can take in high school, and one of them allows you to build your own guitar. So I did all the research on the wood that I would want for my guitar. You know, my professor told the whole class at the beginning of right. the semester, like, usually people don't finish their guitars in the semester. Usually, like it's only, you know, like maybe 20% of the people who actually start finish by the end. So, you know, I was already on top of it. And while I was having my guitar machined, worked on by one of the drills that we mm-hmm. had in the building, there's a power outage and it destroyed like the codes.
I know, I heard this. I was like, oh my gosh, how heartbreaking that must have been.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it sucked. And like, so I was halfway through the semester with a guitar that was destroyed, you know,
right?
Because the computer wasn't able to get the codes back,
right?
And, you know, it was like in the middle of its machining, so
right.
it just didn't work. And the professor was like, man, I don't know what to tell you. And I just told him, like, I'm gonna make my guitar again. I'm going to start from scratch. I'm mm-hmm. going to finish it, mm-hmm. you know, before the semester ends. And I did. So I made friends with all my professors from all my periods and all my classes. And they let me, like, leave the class early, take right. the test early, leave, go to the shop, keep mm-hmm. working on my guitar. So I was there. And I finished before the semester ended. And, I still have that guitar now and I play on it sometimes.
That's so cool.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, that's neat. I think guitar manufacturing, luthering is a mm-hmm. such an incredible craft.
Right.
You know, everything from the class-based one where it's a, you know, you do this over the course of a semester to we're not too far from where like Martin guitars are to mm-hmm. like the way at that master craft level.
Yep.
And it's both a functional thing. You build a thing that creates art and the thing itself is art.
Yeah,
you
know, oh, totally.
I love that.
Yeah, you can see a little bit behind Seth there is his axe for today and it's a beauty.
Thank you, man.
Yeah. Well, we will bust that out.
That one has stories, too.
Nice. Maybe when you pull it out, we can tell a few of those stories.
I got you.
so, like, that is an amazing... Like, so there you are. That's your senior year. And was it the talent show at the end of senior year where you actually sang for the first time and it, like, blew people away?
Yeah. I don't know if it blew people away because I didn't win. But at the end, like, everybody was humming my song.
Yeah.
So that
sounds like you won.
Really. Yeah,
you were the winner. Maybe not with the prize, but you got the you moved into other people's heads rent free. If we're going to reference that again,
I mean, it made me feel good at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. I felt so good.
What song was that?
It was a song called "This Beautiful Love."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't play that anymore, but it's one that I wrote and I liked it at the time.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's very, very cool. And so that also must then propel you confidence-wise, that you're kind of heading down a good path.
Yeah. No, it just, to me, like, I just felt so, like, I'd never, like, been high before. I'd never done anything like that, but it just, I felt so high. Like, after everybody was cheering, like, humming my song, and I'm just, you know, I just kind of proved to myself that what I was telling myself for years was wrong, and people actually enjoyed, you know, what I enjoyed.
Sure.
So that was just like, it was really freeing.
Yeah. And then, do you go right into trying to do the gigs? Because from what I understand is then you kind of spun off and started to go to either like venues or bars or whatever to just kind of like cold audition for them to try and get hired.
So what happened was I immediately went to open mics. Some open mics in the area.
Yeah.
I think I went to one open mic. It's not around anymore, but there's a place called Hava Java Cafe in Allentown.
Yeah.
And there was this guy who I met there. His name's Aiden. He's a really cool guy.
Yeah.
He's a musician in the area. And he was working the cafe. Mm-hmm. And I played and people liked it. And I just asked him, like, hey, like, how do you get gigs? Mm-hmm. You know? Because he was a gig musician. And he was like, well, you know, like, you do the Apple, you know, you do the open mics, like, a couple years, and then you get comfortable, get confident, and then you can go ask venues if you want to play. He's like, I just played, like, a gig at Applebee's, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, it was great. And I didn't want to wait. I was like, okay, cool. So then the next day, I went to a bar.
Right.
And then I you know, started, quote-unquote, auditioning. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I got my first show that way.
Yeah. And is that the one where they actually booed you during it?
Yep.
Which, again, is just so rude. Yeah. But again, what I remember reading about, though, was like, so here you were, you do your first gig, you're probably nervous as heck. Mm-hmm. It isn't as well received as, obviously, you would have liked, but you, in that moment, became that much more sure it was what you wanted to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, like, imagine, like, you see a kid, I was 18 years old or so, just, like, sitting on a stool in a bar. It's like, it's like 6 p.m., 7 p.m., whatever. But, like, it's smoky in there. It's, like, it's literally, like, something you'd see in a movie. And then I've got all this sheet music on the floor. And I'm just, like, playing, trying to, like, read the, you know. And then you got people across the bar booing, being like, stop the music, or, like, turn the radio on or something, you know. But I was making $20 an hour, and I thought that was great.
Sure.
You know, and I was, like, and at the end, I made it through. It was 3 hours. I didn't take a break because I didn't know that you could. And so I was just like, you know. And, yeah, like, my dad was there. You know, he was, like, talking to all the people there. It was crazy. But afterwards, I was just like, wow, I can do this, you know?
Yeah.
I made it through. And it was, again, it built my confidence.
For sure.
Yep. Yeah. A successful gig is success.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that sounds silly, but I mean, even if someone's booing at you, that means you at least caused a reaction.
Mm-hmm.
That's worth something, right? Hey. Like, even if it's negative, you got a reaction.
Totally.
Like, instead of it just being neutral. Like, you actually engage them on some level.
Well, but also, like, I made money, you know?
Right.
Like,
you're now a professional musician.
Yeah, so I used to go door to door and, like, mow lawns, you know? And I would ask if I could, you know, make some money doing that. So I made $20 an hour.
Right.
3 hours of playing, I made $60.
Yep.
And, like, you know, before, I was telling myself my music was nothing and I was trash. So I was able to overcome that and make money.
Right.
So, yeah, somebody booed me, but it was like, I make money.
Yeah.
Like, got $60, you know?
Yeah.
You know? So it was just like, it didn't bother me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then were there any originals that night or was it covers?
Mostly covers.
So where, I'm sure you're songwriting in this time frame, where did the first originals happen? Like, where, like,
it's funny
for the gig stuff.
It's funny you say that because when I would audition, I would only sing originals.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, when I first started, I would only sing originals auditioning.
Right.
Yeah. So I was kind of sprinkling them in between always. But I didn't have a lot, you know, I just had a couple.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. My goals have evolved over time.
Sure.
Excuse me. When I first started, my first goal was to get into Music Fest. That was like my first. Okay, so the first goal was, let me get some shows. I got some shows.
Right.
I started getting shows at bars. And then it was like, what's the next biggest thing around here? It's Music Fest.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my next goal.
Yeah.
So, Yeah.
And you talk about, I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but more just I want you to touch on this as well, is you manifest this stuff. Like, you literally envision yourself doing it, which is powerful.
Yeah.
And I want other people to be motivated by that. So if you don't mind, share that a little bit and maybe where your manifestations are going forward.
Sure. Okay, so I had all these shows now, you know, maybe I was doing, I don't know, maybe like 30 a year or something. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. In the year I was doing it, I had about like 30 shows or so.
Right.
And it was going well. And I remember I decided to go to Music Fest for the first time. I went there and I remember being in Plaza Tropical and I saw all the people and I saw the stage and it was really cool. And I was just like, it was during the daytime. There wasn't like a ton of people there, but I just saw the space and I just said, you know what? Like, I'm going to play here. I don't know when, I don't know how, but I'm going to play here, you know? And I said that, and I believed it. And then I again, I'm used to doing the door-to-door thing. So during the time, I was going to Lehigh University. So whenever I didn't have classes, like every day, I would go to ArtsQuest because I knew they were in charge of Music Fest. And I would try to get in contact with one of the people who books for Music Fest. Mm-hmm. I wanted them to hear me sing once, you know? And I would always go to the Steel Stacks open mic.
Mm-hmm.
So I would ask, you know, I would reach out to the person in charge, email them, whatever, and ask if they would just hear me sing a song during the open mic, you know? And that's kind of what I did. And then eventually I had somebody who said, okay, yeah, I'll listen, you know? And then the day of, she was like, oh, something came up, I couldn't listen. Sorry, Seth, you know? And I was a little discouraged, but it didn't stop me. I was like, okay, we're still going to do this. And then I got a Instagram DM from somebody who was in Liberty High School at the time.
Yeah.
ArtsQuest had asked Liberty
to find
some musicians for Music Fest. And they found me. And they liked what I had. So I went into Liberty High School. I walked into the classroom. They had my picture all over the wall. It was crazy.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it made me really happy. And I got my first couple of gigs at Music Fest through that.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And then they heard me, and now they
have, then they couldn't get away from
me. Now they have me. Yeah. They've had me the past couple of years. It's really nice.
Yeah. And another manifestation was you wanted to sing the national anthem, and you made that happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then now Grammys and stuff like that, like that's what's on the vision board, right?
Yep. One of my goals is to sell out Madison Square Garden.
That's excellent.
I want to have a world tour.
Yep.
I want to win Grammys. Mm-hmm. You know, and so I see that for myself. I want to sell out shows, and I'm doing that. And it's I don't know. It's really cool. It's really cool to think back to like where it started and where I am now and how it's going and stuff. So I'm just grateful.
I have a couple pictures here from, I think this probably was 2021's Music Fest. Okay. But what it does is it speaks to this gratitude and joy that you bring to the stage.
Mm.
It was, you had just finished the set and I just started snapping pictures because you, like were just full of joy because like you just jumped up. This was more that Lagerplatz stage where it's like more the acoustic set in Martin guitar.
Yeah.
And so like you're jumping and then this was, I remember this, you shared this story with the crew, whoever was gathered there, and you were talking about how you had pictured yourself on these stages and stuff like that. So you could just see the look in your eye right there of just how kind of like enamored you are, like on that, like just simply just riding high with just the adrenaline and the happiness of performing for people. And then it was infectious. And by the way, I believe this set was late. I think it was like 10:30 at night or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this kid there who likes your music and wanted to take a picture with you. So there's their mother taking the picture with you. So like you exude this, you know, happiness and gratitude and youthfulness even. And some of these kids love your music, like little kids. She's probably like 6 or 7.
Yeah.
And it's late at night and she just wanted to hear you play and then wanted a picture. And obviously you did that. So like, there's an element to your show that's the music's amazing, but then there's this other energy that's there that is just so fun to watch.
Thank you. Yeah. I've had people say it when they come to my shows, it feels like it's like a, I don't know how to say it. It's like a, I just bring everybody into like my little bubble.
Sure.
And it's
absolutely
like a nice little comfy place.
Yeah.
It's like I can be vulnerable and everybody's feeling what I'm feeling. And then it's like, Yeah, it's like cathartic and stuff.
It's that reminds me. This is a super short video, but I wanted to bring it in. It speaks to the exact thing that you just shared. So this was probably the year following. This was more where you have these this kind of thing going on with the
angel wings.
The angel wings. Yeah, but you were playing this song. It's not one of yours, but it created such a cool vibe again with children. Mm-hmm. And you just came off the stage and continued to play, dancing. I think it's Dancing in the Moonlight is the song, and you're dancing in amongst the crowd here with these kids. Take a look at this. Everyone just kind of buys into the whole Seth Witcher vibe at a show. It's pretty awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have fun.
Absolutely.
It's really cool that people have a good time, too.
Yeah. So, wanted to get into a little bit of the music here before having you play. I think the song that was a breakthrough for you was Marionette. Mm-hmm. It just seemed to be one that really caught some, you know, it rode a wave, if you will. Mm-hmm. And it is a wonderful song. So I kind of wanted to have you talk about it a little bit. There is that opening here, so I'm going to start hitting play here while maybe you chat about it a little bit.
Okay.
And then we'll bring up the volume and whatnot. But anyway, here's Marionette by Seth Witcher.
Yeah, this song was it was really cool for me because it helped me win a TV show
that I was on. Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I was on a show called Spotlight Under the L a couple of years ago, and this is the one that won it for me. So
that's so cool.
Yeah, I it's one of those songs that kind of built itself. Like, I was writing it, I was just playing a piano in college, and then just the. Like, I start playing that, and then the song just kind of happened.
Right.
I remember, like, playing it and recording it, and then I'm driving home, and then the words are coming, and I'm like, you know, and it's just building itself, and it's just so cool.
Yeah. Let's bring it up here, and we'll enjoy some of this. Watch this puppet man, bet you can't hear me cry. The tears fall down inside. Yeah, marionettes cry. Just look into their eyes. Watch me dance. I know you'll smile then. Yeah, gather man, bet you can't hear me cry. The tears fall down inside. Yeah, marionettes cry. Just look into their eyes. My life is controlled by a string. It just takes like that, you know, very well-known classic, you know, what, like a... The sound in the background is so familiar to people, but it's telling this story that it's new. Like, it's not what they would maybe expect from it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not afraid to be vulnerable in my music,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of people don't expect that from somebody, you know, who looks like me, you know? Like, so, like, I like to play with that
a
lot.
Of course. It's one of the, like... had this conversation before, but like one of our favorite elements of music is when it's, you think you know what's about to happen, because music can be, have patterns and predictions and stuff. Like, if you go listen to a blues song, you know what's coming. So like, but it's still what your ears like to hear.
Yeah.
But I always like when a song takes you down a path that you think you know what's happening, and then it does something that you weren't expecting, and I just think that that's pretty cool.
I think for me, my favorite aspect of music is surprise.
Yeah.
And it could be a lyric, it could be a rhythmic change, it could just be a juxtaposition, as you were suggesting.
Yeah.
I think, for me, that is ultimately what drives things that I like to listen to, is the surprise.
Sure. Yeah. Any other stories behind the... like, so now that has you got inspired by the chords and stuff, but then the words and whatnot, anything else... you can share about the meaning behind the song?
So, I typically actually don't like to share what the song means to me.
Oh, interesting.
Because music is almost like poetry,
sure.
in a way.
And
a lot of times, if you hear what the poet meant, then what you thought it was just goes out the window. And then it means maybe less to you.
Interesting. Yeah, all right, then let's leave it at that.
I saw an interesting quote. It was from Geddy Lee of Rush. Of all people.
Right.
And he was discussing the words of a song. He's like, there's an agreement between an artist and their work, which is once you release it, you no longer control what it means.
It's no longer yours.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's like, you always have the option to revisit that.
Mm-hmm.
As the artist, you maintain that. But the audience or the perception, depending what type of art you're talking about, it allows them to interpret it as they see fit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And it's really cool. You know, just like when you have like people listening to your songs, like they're crying, they're talking to you, and they're like, wow, this song meant so much to me. Like it really helped me through a dark time or whatever. And you never would have thought that would be the song that would
sure,
do it.
Right.
You know, but right. So yeah.
Yeah. No, it's, we were just having this conversation with Chelsea Mitchell where she's like, I wrote it about, you know, the loss of my father, and someone said, oh, it reminded me about the loss of my spouse. Mm-hmm. And someone else was like, remind me of the loss of my dog. And it was like, the universal emotion is there of loss. Mm-hmm. And then music helping just kind of universally just communicate as well. It just kind of shows and proves just how like and similar and connected we all are. Mm-hmm. And how we can all not feel as alone as maybe we do in a given moment. Yeah, if as long as we get vulnerable and let that in. So
yeah,
that's cool. And probably speaks to, yeah, that if you don't share it, then it can maybe impact that many more people. So mm-hmm. I admire that.
Thank you, man.
Absolutely. So let's talk about songwriting in general then. I just have a question. So if you were to finish this sentence, you know, your songwriting was never the same after.
Mm-hmm. I can't. I can't answer that.
Okay.
Yeah.
It wasn't something like Taco Bell.
Right.
Yeah. You know, or would be like, wow, that is unfortunate.
Songwriting isn't something that like just hit me and then it's mm-hmm. like, I can do this. It's like every song is a gift.
Sure.
And it just comes and then it goes.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I hear the song and I can just write it.
Sure.
And that's what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I admire your song. They have such a cool, like, they always have, like, this, there's a punk aspect to it. I hope that comes across the right way.
Yeah.
Because it's not really taking on any BS from the industry or whatever. It's like, this is me and what I'm doing and what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also this very sweet and vulnerable and poppy and rock and whatnot. Like, it's just, it's kind of all that at the same time. And I just think that that's really cool.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. So I'm thrilled for all this success that you're having. And I just, you know, hope that it just continues to grow and thrive and whatnot. Like, you're starting to book and perform down at one particular place in Philly, like other places as well. But like, you're connected now to Fire
mm-hmm.
down yeah, that way where you're kind of connected there. I don't know if you want to share a little bit about that.
Yeah. So the Fire is a really cool club that, like John Legend used to play at a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Heard of him.
Sorry?
Heard of him.
Yeah. He's kind of well known.
Yeah.
My Chemical Romance would play there a lot.
Heard of them too.
Jason Mraz. Like, so it's a club that all these bands went through in like the early 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm able to play there. You know, I play shows there and I actually book some shows for them too.
Which That's is, so cool.
It's an honor for me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I played a show there. And the owner just really liked my style, and she asked if I wanted to put together a show.
That's awesome.
You know, and I've been doing it every month since then.
That's so cool. Yeah, that's very, very cool.
That's great. Do you have, so if somebody wanted to find out when your next gig was, what would be the best way to find out where you, is it?
Me personally or
yeah, well, Fire? Well, Fire's one thing, but for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's on my website.
We can pull that up right now while you're
sitting.
Yeah,
you can just go to my shows page on the website, or
and that's what SethWitcherOfficial.com, correct?
Yes.
Yep. Yeah. So we'll bring that up here for people.
Yeah.
And then you have a not Fire. You actually have a local show that's sold out. Congratulations! This coming Sunday, right?
Yeah.
So if you didn't get tickets, tough. Maybe you'll get on them.
That's
quicker
the
next time.
26th November
yes.
for anybody doing the date thing.
Correct. As you should.
Correct.
So yes, yeah, Seth Witcher, Godfrey Daniels this Sunday, November 26th here in Bethlehem. And then, so we have the page up for people to see right now.
Correct.
December 9th. Over at Vinecrest.
Yeah. And there's more shows. I have to update the website.
It's always one of the hardest parts.
Absolutely. But no, that is great. And you have other cool things here on the site as well. Obviously, you can buy some merch. We always like slinging merch for the musicians.
Yeah, thank you.
Great way to support revenue for you. That's something we always like to see happen is,
yeah.
you know, that to be able to generate stuff.
And also, like, if people want to know where I'm at every week, I have a a fan list, like a newsletter.
Oh, very cool.
You can sign up for on my website. Or if you're on Instagram or Twitter, you can go to my link tree. It's the link in my bio.
Mm-hmm.
You can just put your email in the fan list section.
Yeah. Get on that list.
Yeah, it's right there.
Exactly right. So I understand that not only you might play for us today, but it's a currently yet unreleased song coming out next month. Is that not the thing? Or, forgive me if that's not the case.
That's not the case.
Okay. No worries. Oops. No worries.
No, but I will sing for you a song that is my biggest song.
Okay. Yeah.
It's called I Hate Love Songs.
Oh, I love it.
And
I do love that song.
Thank you. Yeah, for me, it's gotten the most streams I've gotten on a song. It has like 30,000 or so,
which
is cool for me.
Yeah. So here's what I'm going to do. While you grab your axe, if you want to tell the story, I'm going to put a little log on the fire so that we have some good luminescence. And then we'll enjoy I Hate Love Songs.
Okay.
Cool.
So you were mentioning before that this guitar has its own set of stories.
Correct. So now when I play live, I use a pick a lot of the time. But when I first started playing, I would just use my fingers. And this is the guitar I did it with. And there's a lot of like my blood on the inside.
Oh.
Yeah.
So often guitarists will lose a pick. We'll lose a pick on the inside, but you instead have shed bodily fluids on the inside of it.
Correct. And I will forever love this guitar because of that.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's a great color.
Thank you.
I love the blue. Or, there's probably a better color for that.
So, like Seth.
Turquoise. Yeah, that's
so,
I like
Seth,
that
you're thing. Tuning up. You and I actually discussed this very briefly before you played. I just think it's worth mentioning because I think it's interesting from a thing.
Yeah, we like the music nerd moments.
Well, I asked about your tuning, and so why don't you explain the tuning that you use just to get a little perspective on your approach?
I like to tune to D standard.
Which means the whole guitar is tuned down a whole step.
That's correct.
Yeah.
It's tuned down a whole step. Not for any reason other than when I first started to sing and play, I didn't sing very well, and I wasn't confident in my vocal range. Now I know I have like a 4-octave range, and I'm able to, you know, whatever. But I just keep it there now.
Right, it's become comfortable.
Correct, and it's nice having the option of like putting a capo on and like being able to do whatever.
Sure.
And, like I was saying, like I can I play a lot of songs, you know, with this guitar that I wouldn't be able to play in the same key, you know, on other guitars because I tuned it down a little set.
Yep. Fantastic.
Cool.
Yeah. Thank you. This is I Hate Love Songs. I hate love songs, they're on the radio all day. Break up, make up, yeah, they're all the same. You would think that we'd all be on the same page, but I'm alone, another dollar, another day. Another thing you hear everyone say. I'm sorry I hurt you that day. I wish I didn't do it that way. Please take me back so I'll be okay. I'll be honest, heartbreak comes easy, so I stay by myself. Now be honest, you hate catching feelings, cause that last relationship was hell. I fall in love too easily, I'm kicking and screaming inside of me. Cause my heart skips a beat, but our eyes meet, so I'd rather be by myself. Be honest, I've been hurt. Nothing's worse, that love was a curse. Lesson learned, she took my heart and threw it on the floor. She took my heart, now I don't feel no more. She took my heart, what was it beating for? I left my heart in the hands of a... Now be honest, heartbreak comes easy, so I stay by myself. Now be honest, you hate catching feelings, cause that last relationship I fall in love too easily. I'm kicking and screaming inside of me. Cause my heart skips a beat when our eyes meet. So I'd rather be by myself. She told me she was happy. Who knew that she was acting? I knew that I was happy, but something felt wrong was happening. Lost in my mind, fantasizing. She came back and said she was lying. I guess I should have known you were lying.
Why does it hurt like this? Now I'm crying. I'll be honest, heartbreak came easy, so I stay by myself. I'll be honest, I hate catching feelings, cause my last relationship was hell. I fell in love too easily. I'm kicking and screaming inside of me, cause my heart skips a beat when our eyes meet. I don't wanna be by myself. Don't wanna be by myself. Don't wanna be by myself. I don't wanna be by myself. 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 Don't wanna be by myself.
Thank you. That was awesome.
No problem.
I was wishing there was a way we could focus more on you and not have us two knuckleheads in the shot. That would have been way nicer for you. But that was amazing. Love that song.
Thank you, man.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Any elements to the story, not the lyrics, but, you know, again, the inspiration behind the writing of it? Or
Yeah. Panic at the Disco. I write sins, not tragedies.
Okay.
When he says the poor groom's bride was a, you know,
right?
Or he says she was a whore, but like that, like there's that, like that's just like the, I don't know, that's a inspiration for me. I love Panic at the Disco.
Sure.
I love Fall Out Boy. I love, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love all of that. So
yeah,
that was the inspiration for like the writing and even like my voice when I sing. It's like that 2000s pop punk kind of. Yeah.
No, for sure. But then it's still obviously all your own and brand new.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Anything to additionally promote? Anything for 2024? Anything that you want us to talk about here? Because obviously the shows are out there, but and there is some new music coming.
Yeah.
But anything else that you would want to make sure people are aware of what's coming?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's funny you mentioned like a new song. I'm dropping a new song December 5th. So I'm really excited for that one. It's a song that I've had in the vault for like 2 years.
Tell me.
And I've re-recorded like 2 or 3 times.
Oh, that feeling of just getting it right.
Yeah. Well, it's not just like, so I didn't have the team of people around me to make it sound the way I heard it in my head.
Oh, yeah.
You
absolutely.
Know? So to get it to where it is now, it feels awesome. Like I'm working with a guy who mixed it from Canada.
That's
another
cool.
A dude from Nashville to do the drums and another guy in Nashville to master it. So everything I have is going into this one song. And, I have a feature on it, so it's going to be awesome.
That's so cool.
Oh, yeah. That's exciting. Yeah. Looking forward to it. December 5th.
Yeah, it's like I want to show the world, like, just my versatility, what I have coming. It's a new era for me. So when you hear it, you're going to notice this is a different flavor. This is a new thing.
There's a new Witcher in town.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. And it's going to be awesome.
That's so cool. Can't wait for it.
Thank you. Me neither.
Yeah. So we'll obviously, you know, link to it however we can, you know, as that becomes more of a reality. But Seth Witcher, thank you so much for joining in my home here at Reese Plotz in front of the fireplace.
Thank you.
For doing the, you know, the opening banter with us and for playing. Like I said, after we do the closing credits, we're going to have you, whatever you want to play. If you want to play some holiday tunes,
sure.
We can kind of welcome in the holiday season with Thanksgiving coming up. Hopefully no one will be mad at us that we're already playing some Christmas stuff.
Well, I think post-Thanksgiving, it's full green light
right.
At that point in time.
You
know, like, it's when you're like, I don't know, I always get weirded out when I'm in Lowe's,
mm-hmm.
and there's sort of like the one aisle is Halloween stuff,
yes.
the other is Christmas mm-hmm. stuff. I'm waiting for the Nightmare Before Christmas music to just
yeah,
kick
no, you're
in
right
and
about
the battle
that.
To ensue.
Yeah, but basically, this is Tuesday the 21st. That the live stream's happening, the podcast will release on Thanksgiving. So
I think
we're in the free and clear.
Close enough.
We're free and clear. Let's say goodbye here, and then we'll have Seth welcome us to the holiday season.
Yeah.
All right, Phil, let's say goodbye to everybody.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Your Next Favorite Band. We'd like to sincerely thank Seth Winter for joining us here at Reed Plus and for, you know, sharing all of this amazing backstory that he has, some great music, and just enough of the inspiration and stories behind the songs for us to enjoy them that much more. And then you can fill in the rest yourself as a listener. There'll be links in the show notes to Seth's website, Spotify channel, YouTube channel, and anything else that we can. We'll also link to some of the Music Fest stuff that we shared regarding the story behind the poster. And if you are a musician who'd like to submit for consideration, now's the time. And then also, obviously, follow Seth on all his socials out there to stay up to date on the release of the new music, as well as any other gigs that he might have out there. As always, our hope here on this show is to bring you your next favorite band. If you tuned in today because you already knew Seth Winter and that's what brought you here, thank you so much for tuning in. We hope that you enjoy things and you might consider liking, subscribing, and following us so that we can bring you your next favorite band at some point in the future. Or if you visit nextfaveband.com, you can check out all of our prior interviews, both the video and the audio are both there for your enjoyment. Maybe your next favorite band is already out there and you just got to go catch up. Lots of great stuff coming up here, as we mentioned. Winter Wonder Jam is coming up in December, and then some great stuff for 2024 of our own. But please enjoy the holidays and keep it safe. And hopefully you have something to be thankful for this year. And hope to see you at a live show soon. Now, here, holiday music from Seth Winter.
Signs of stopping, and my crawlers on the corner for popping. The lights are turned way down low. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. When we finally kiss goodnight, how I hate going out in the storm. But if you really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. The fire is dying, and my dear, we are still goodbying. As long as you love me so, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Let me finally kiss goodnight. How I hate going out in the storm. If you really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. The fire is slow.
Happy holidays, everybody.